This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
One of the biggest headlines for this week is the cabinet reshuffle, or just the musical chairs, really. An anticlimax, many people are saying. They expected more. But in the end, it just seems as though the president was more concerned about rewarding loyalty and his longevity than he cared about solving some of the country's problems. And that's really why it's important for us to talk about this newly reinstated Ministry for Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, because you'll recall that this portfolio did exist. In fact, I think the very first Minister of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation was Trevor Manuel, after he'd served for more than a decade as South Africa's finance minister, the longest finance minister in the country. And because he'd done such a stellar job managing the country's fiscus, it was felt that he would do well to monitor how every rand is spent in the various allocations of the budget. And that would then beef up the national development plan of the country, because then we could assess whether there's value for money in education, in healthcare, in infrastructure spending. And then they canned it, only to reinstate it 18 months before an election. So there's something very expedient going on here. There's something that doesn't make sense, but the function of monitoring and planning is very, very important. And we thought today, let's talk about that. We're joined by Lwazi Somya, who's a political analyst and senior research, development and programs coordinator and at the Southern African Liaison Office. And we're also joined by Dr. Ibrahim Harvey, who's a political analyst. So, Dr. Harvey, good day.
Good day to you. Good morning. Good to be with you. Thanks.
Thank you always for your time. And Lwazi Somya, good morning.
Good morning, and great to be invited. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's start with you, Lwazi. So it was quite a surprise, but I think a welcome surprise, to hear about the re-establishment of a Ministry for Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. But the question is, this job did exist once upon a time, and then what happened? So how have they been managing and monitoring policy all this time if they never had a person who was doing monitoring and evaluation?
So the interesting aspect about this is that the former minister, Monteng Okubele, who's now in communications, had the title of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, but it seems now that it's going to be a fully-fledged department. However, what is also interesting is that the replacement of the performance monitoring and planning aspect of our government's formulation has simply been replaced by those performance agreements that the president has signed with his ministers and members of his national executives. Even those performance agreements themselves were not properly scrutinized. They were not a wide range of public consultations concerning the expectations of the public concerning those performance monitoring contracts that the ministers and members of cabinet had signed with the president. And there are various other aspects to which the entire functionality of government was undermined by the getting rid of it and this stagnant period.
Right.
The another aspect is that the National Planning Commission itself, whilst it holds a very key role in terms of national development and charting the way forward concerning our developmental trajectory, we had left out a lot of the research capacity out of the presidency itself and simply outsourcing it to these panel of people who were not entrusted with the implementation and drafting up of legislation that will ensure the implementation of relevant government policies to ensure a sound governance framework that would operate in the future. So all these aspects have been building up, and the reinsertment of the Ministry of Planning itself is a much more welcomed initiative. But you also see the dynamics at play and who is actually appointed into this Ministry of Planning. The swapping around of Monteng Okubele Kumbudzo Nachiveni as the presidency, and along with Maropeni Maramakgopa, is very interesting to see how now the performance and monitoring evaluation systems in the ANC have now been transferred onto the national government at a presidency phase as the second DSG position at National Conference was allocated towards performance monitoring evaluation.
So there's a lot of things you've said here, but one of the media reports that have come out citing sources within government. I don't know how absolutely true it is, but what was said was that ministers believe that they personally have signed a performance agreement, Lwazi, with the president. And so their accountability is to the president. And that mindset is problematic because actually your performance reflects on the state of the country. If we cannot tackle crime because the minister is failing and the police are failing, it is not a reflection on how the president is going to assess you. The situation speaks for itself on the ground. And so are the ministers missing the point that you've signed a performance agreement with the president is tantamount to a performance agreement with the country?
Yes, and we must also remember that ministers and various members of the national executive serve at the behest of the president and is enshrined within our constitutions. We as the public do not elect our ministers, nor do we elect our president. It is an outcome of an electoral system, and those who are elected onto that body make all the decisions based on their numeric numbers. But then that's the part and parcel of why people have been requesting a reform in how we elect our national executive leaders. In particular, how do we reform our electoral laws in order for them to accommodate a more accountable national executive directly linked to the public, along with how do we now capacitate greater public participation in democratic practice on a day-to-day basis beyond voting.
Okay. Let's bring you in here, Dr. Harvey, and the process of appraising ministers, because for me it's mind-boggling that a minister would think my performance agreement is with the president. It doesn't really matter what the public think. It doesn't matter what the voting public are going to do as they respond to conditions on the ground. I'm only accountable to the president. And that's not really how monitoring and evaluation should be working. Or should it?
Yeah, hi, thanks. You know, I listened to the input of the you see there are too many things to be considered and said in this. You'll never be able to, even if you had a hour-long interview with us or me in particular, because I have serious problems with what's going on. You see, what is happening now, although you know the reinstatement of a ministry of performance evaluation, and it could serve, in fact, the crisis in the ANC government cries out for such a more systematic, objective appraisal of performance. But what Ramaphosa is doing, which he's been doing with several things, and I'm telling you, it's going to create serious problems for the ANC, which he's unable to see himself and his cabinet. There's an over-centralization of power in the presidency. Yeah. And Ramaphosa and his cabinet thinks that it's going to be assisting. No, it's going to create more problems, and it reinforces the fact that in the final analysis, this ANC government, they care little about the public. Let me tell you something. Because of the demographic facts of this country, in which the so-called African people are the overwhelming majority, that's why they don't care damn what you do. The polls decide finally, you know, and you'll see how they've been returned to power, except 2016 and 2021 losing the powerhouse of production, Joburg, etc. So it's a big wake-up call, but it's very significant because, you know, instead of seeing a reversal, you're seeing an entrenchment of an over-centralization bureaucratization which is happening in the ANC, and so many important functions are now being centralized in the presidency, and indeed, as you say, the performance agreements that ministers have with the president himself, they have to sign, shows you where the priority for the ANC lies. It lies with satisfying, you know, which is so highly problematic because the ANC is in an unprecedented crisis since 1994. Mm-hmm. On every conceivable front, the townships are a mess. Infrastructure, generally the worst ever. Take Joburg, where I come from. Since the city was formed in 1886, let me tell you, the biggest infrastructural crisis, the road, railways, everything has collapsed. So you would think that this should wake up the ANC, you know, towards seeking solutions in a different way. The centralization of powers, I can tell you now, in the presidency, is going to aggravate and deepen the crisis that the ANC ultimately
faces. What about the argument in the reverse, Dr. Harvey, that says actually the centralization of power in the presidency means that the president now has a direct channel of communications daily at the click of a button with the various ministries that speak to the critical touch points of South Africa, like energy, like national security, and now like ensuring that there is coherence in policy? Because if you leave it to a minister in their autonomy, you've got to wait to schedule a meeting, and then but now those ministers are here sitting at your boardroom every day.
You could argue, you know, in terms of formal logic, your argument would probably be, you know, unassailable. But the dynamics is far different. It's not just the formalization of ministerial accountability by signing these things. It's what's happening. And it's when you talk, I've been noticing the little I've listened to. You see, if policy underlies what is happening now, and in fact, the reinstatement of this Ministry of Evaluation, Performance, and so on, you have to go back to the reason why the ANC is in the very serious crisis, worst ever, that it faces. I write things, I do this all the time for over two decades. I show you systematically why the townships are aflame from June 2004 in the Free State till now. It has to do, and nobody wants to listen. Ramaphosa doesn't listen. Nobody listens to me. It's got to do with the neoliberal policies the ANC imposed, not just, introduced, imposed from 1994. I can take you back to 2 months after
the 1994
Water Services Act commercialized. So I'm just saying quickly, you can't talk about policy implementation. All the, including Mbeki Mutlante used to tell me, and I had arguments with them, you're talking nonsense. It's not about the ANC not implementing policies that it took. It's the problem with the nature of the policy that the ANC has adopted, rather than its delayed
implementation. But we're 20 years out of that debate around RDP being replaced by GEAR and what happened. The fact is we're here now, and we just as citizens want to see potholes filled up, improved roads, electricity on, schools that have teachers in them, proper sanitation in schools, universities that are not hotbeds for protest, but universities that are leading to graduates who then can be absorbed in the economy. This is where we're at. And the question is, there is a mismatch between policy, implementation and output. And how is this ministry going to help us? So please think about that. And then perhaps you can provide us with an answer when we come back.
Getting you what you need to know. Power Talk. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
All right, so the cabinet was reshuffled, or new positions, in fact, vacant positions filled and a few new positions created, which in itself is quite problematic in terms of creating a bigger bloated civil service. And of course, that Sunday Times report that said with each minister, they need support staff up to at least 12 people who then come in, which then adds over 2 billion to the public service and administration bill for the support staff. So there's many problems with what's happened this week. But one of the more refreshing interventions was the creation or the re-establishment of a Ministry for Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation by government to be led by Marubeni Ramokgopa. It is a job that was once held by Trevor Manuel in its previous incantation. We're joined by Dr. Ibrahim Harvey and Lwazi Somya. Lwazi Somya, here's the thing. Even if the principle is that the ministers serve at the behest of the president, so their accountability primarily is to their boss, who is the president, all of those things being true, how then is the president evaluating the performance of his ministers? I'm going to give you a very simple one, and I sound like a broken record. Crime, the worst statistics in a long, long time, and consistently so. Quarter after quarter, it's getting worse. Murder rates, worse. Sexual violence, rape, worse. Hijacking, worse. New crimes, kidnapping, coming into the fray. Every single quarter. In a corporate setting, that would say you are out of your depth as Peggy Tele. Your appraisal would say you are failing on all the metrics. You need to leave the job. Not only was he retained, but emboldened. So what kind of appraisal is actually happening in the government?
Here's the problem. The primary point of departure should be the performance agreements that the president has had with his national executive. And part and parcel of the performance agreements that the president has had is set targets that the president has to set with the relevant ministers, and ensuring after those targets are not met, that the particular minister has to account not only to the president, but also parliament, which has to hold the specific minister in agreement according to their own performance agreements with the president. And this public accountability mechanism is that the legislative arm of our government has not held our government officials in accordance to the performance agreements they've had. The performance agreements have had and have not been properly, adequately consulted with what the general public expects from the relevant ministers, and how we as the public need to plug in to the expectations that we have from our national executives. Yeah. So that gap in consultation between the public, the legislative arm of government, along with the national executive, mm-hmm. creates this disjointed approach, right. and a deficit in expectations between the public, as the elected representatives, and the national executive.
And Dr. Harvey, another example I could bring just to illustrate the point is almost every single state-owned enterprise has just about collapsed, right? Eskom being the worst, affecting all of our lives materially. And yet Pravin Gordhan was retained. So what sort of appraisal is happening? Because the performance of the minister doesn't even speak to the reality on the ground. In fact, it's almost an insult to the public to say your grievances don't matter as long as I have my friend close by me. So you talk about policy mismatch. This is beyond policy mismatch. This is about using cabinet to entrench loyalties.
No, obviously it's true what you're saying. But what you said just before the break hits the nail on the head, and unfortunately you never pursued it when you resumed. You pointed to the Joburg student protests. You know, I talked about the black townships. You know, you can talk about so much more that where you can see how deep and unprecedented this crisis is. And I'll tell you what you'll find at the bottom of it all, which the ANC pays no attention to. And you have to ask yourself, where's the RDP? Ask yourself, where's the Freedom Charter? The Freedom Charter, which said that the doors of learning and culture shall be open to all. The ANC has long departed. They closed the RDP office in March 1996. Freedom Charter, you don't even hear them talking about. Those are fundamental policy issues. Nobody talks. Not even the media questions the ANC. And the media's understanding of what our problems are leaves much to be desired, honestly. Now, look at Joburg. Why are those students? My column for News 24 this week is on the student protest. And the reason why I'm going back, I'm highly sympathetic to those students. They're all from 95% from black working class backgrounds. The biggest problem cutting across basic service, public service, and students is the ANC commercialized, corporatized, and commodified basic services for water, sanitation, everything. That's where your prepaid water and electricity meters. They listen to World Bank officials.
Okay,
what they told me.
Dr. Harvey, I don't think, to be fair, the media are immune or indifferent to these issues. The fact is, we've just got to deal with the realities we face right now. And this is why, Lwazi Somya, I want to know, here we are in this quagmire, this multi-crisis of issues that South Africa is facing, and here is a ministry being introduced to monitor performance, and not just of a minister, but of the value of policy across these touch points. Is it going to help?
Theoretically, these things should be helpful because the minister is centered in the presidency, and therefore they have a direct ear of the president. And therefore, the minister, since they occupy a higher up position than most ministers, they're able to have a broader departmental-wide view of relevant policy formulations within government and the execution. And therefore, they should be able to intervene. But we know this from history that this never works out eventually. And the only way we can tell is the proof in the pudding. This is President Ramaphosa's last-ditch cabinet before the much important 2024 elections. Mm-hmm. And this is the team that he's backing to deliver him a second term as president.
Let me ask the question another way. So this new super ministry, the centralization of power, are we going to wake up at the end of 2023 and say, oh, no more load shedding. Oh, more money at universities. Hey, there's water in the taps. It worked. They have done a policy evaluation and they have monitored and they've made the right interventions.
Well, that's up to the team that has to execute the policies that are in place, and if we're speaking honestly, we should not hold our hopes very high concerning such a ministry, because we had it in the past. There was by the end of even Trevor Manuel's tenure, there was simply no policy synthesis within a national state perspective. There were even policy inconsistencies that still exist within our national policy framework, and there was some reviews by former Deputy President Khalema Motlanthe, and those recommendations still need to be implemented. So all of this is the climax of a longer term policy process that itself has been disjointed and at times not fully implemented and at times not even paid attention to, as various ministers have sought shorter-term populist rhetoric rather than longer-term policy game.
All right, I want to thank you both for your time. There's so much more to deal with, but I think this was the nub of it. Policy synthesis has always been an issue in South Africa, and so setting up a ministry of planning, monitoring and evaluation, re-establishing it, could almost just be tantamount to window dressing, whereas South Africans need delivery of services on the ground. Thank you to Dr. Ibrahim Harvey and to Lwazi Somya.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.